Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
I'm Darren Pritchett, continuing on with Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on this Tuesday. We are broadcasting live from the grand opening of Saltgrass Steakhouse, 5126 North Main Street in Mishawaka. The ribbon-cutting ceremony was at 3:30. The doors opened soon after, and we have a packed restaurant right now. Folks are enjoying a great dinner, and I've got some Range Rattlers, jumbo fried jalapenos, fried mushrooms with ranch. I've got beer, Bock bread on my table here. So I'm set up really, really well. So if you are in the neighborhood, stop on by. The grand opening of the first Saltgrass Steakhouse in Indiana, 5126 North Main Street in Mishawaka. And there's an individual helping, with the grand opening from the great state of Texas. And I was telling him about our next guest. They have some things in common. Cowboy fan, University of Texas fan, Tyler Horka from Blue and Gold Illustrated joins me here on the phone here on WSBT Radio, the Notre Dame football beat reporter at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. I think you guys would hit it off tonight talking about the Cowboys and listens to, the ticket down there in Dallas. So, see, we got some Texas flavor here at Saltgrass for you.
Yeah, I love the ticket. It sounds like I would love a lot of that food you got there in front of you. I should have done this in person. Should have driven down there and grabbed the seat right next to you, because it sounds like you guys are doing it up right over there. Love to hear it.
Well, I've got plenty of food here that I cannot eat myself. So, hey, come on by. We'll be happy to take care of you. And, well, I'd love to get your thoughts on Notre Dame football practice restarting tomorrow. Maybe on the offensive side of the football, Tyler, going into that practice, what should be something Irish fans should be focused on, or maybe something that you're focusing on the offensive side of the football at this point of spring practice?
Yeah, I kind of want to see if Chris Mitchell is that difference maker, that guy that Notre Dame has really been longing for in the wide receiver room, because – in that first practice that we got to see a couple of weeks ago, I thought he was the best wide receiver on the field, definitely made the best play of any of the wide receivers. So I'm just kind of looking for consistency and production from practice to practice with him. And I get it. It's different to do it now in March as opposed to September, October, November. But, man, I just kind of want to see if he can keep making those types of plays that we saw the other week, because if he can, and if Riley Leonard – if Notre Dame, Mike Denbrock, all the coaches get the most out of him, then maybe we finally do see a different Notre Dame passing attack, and one that was better than a couple years ago and even better than when Sam Hartman came in here for his one rental season. I think that guy could be the difference maker.
Did any of the freshman wide receivers catch your attention last time you saw practice?
Yeah, so it was a lot of ones versus ones, twos versus twos, three versus threes, and I believe Cam Williams was working up with the two, so he was drawing tougher defensive assignments, and Micah Gilbert was probably going against some walk-ons and some guys who aren't going to see the field in Notre Dame secondary in the fall, but it was Gilbert who grabbed my attention. I just think from the frame standpoint, he already looks like a college wide receiver. I think he had a lot of speed. The way he attacks the football as a wide receiver, I think that's been something that's been missing from the Notre Dame wide receivers lately. It's just going after the football. I mean, we've seen Notre Dame defensive backs go after the football. Benjamin Morrison, 6 picks a couple years ago. Xavier Watts had 7 last year. When's the last time we said, yeah, that Notre Dame wide receiver really just attacks the football? He's physical and he's a presence. It kind of looks like Micah Gilbert can be that guy. And, again, maybe Cam Williams grows into that too. And if you get two of them from the same class who can do it, then, I mean, now you're talking about what I was just talking about with Chris Mitchell, where you have dudes in that Notre Dame wide receiver room can just make a difference and make plays for the Fighting Irish offense.
Tyler Horka, the Notre Dame football beat reporter, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. is my guest here on WSBT Radio. With practice restarting, what about a thought or two on expectations for the Irish defense with practice getting back rolling once again?
Yeah, I keep looking at these linebackers because up front, I mean, it's Howard Cross, it's Riley Mills, it's Jordan Botello. RJ Oben is playing the Javonte Jean-Baptiste role, and I think he's going to be really good. So you're set. I mean, obviously, depth is important, and you got to have the backups to come in and relieve those guys for certain situations and drives. And, you know, a defensive line is only as good as you know, 6-7, maybe even 8 deep as it can get. But with the linebackers, it's okay. You can pretty much rely on the same two guys every single year. We saw that with Notre Dame, J.D. Burke, Ben Maris, Leofel. What do you have now? And I'm curious, is it going to be the same case that we saw in that first practice, Darren, where we saw Drake Bowen, true sophomore, playing middle linebacker? And honestly, if that one practice was an indicator of who's going to start on August 31st in College Station, Texas, it would be Bowen and it would be Jack Kaiser, and then Jalen Steed will come in when there's a Rover situation and play a little weak side himself. But I just want to see throughout the course of spring, Darren, is Drake Bowen really – getting first team reps, or is Jack Kaiser going to have to move over to the middle and Drake Bowen and Jalen Sneed and Preston Zinter and some of these other guys, Kingston Viliamu-Asa, obviously we need to figure out what his role is. Is he the backup middle linebacker? Can he play other positions? I'm just so intrigued by that, by those three positions, two or three positions in the middle of the Notre Dame defense, because I mean, good linebacker play makes defenses elite. And I truly think that's what separates, you know, the Alabamas and the Georgias and even the Clemsons, when they were really humming and shutting people down with defense, they got linebackers who can go sideline to sideline and make all the plays up near the line of scrimmage and everything like that. Is Drake Bowen that guy? Is Jalen Steed that guy? Is Jack Kaiser going to be have his best season when he's the lone alpha, the one guy who's been here for the longest? I'm very intrigued by the Notre Dame linebackers.
Tyler, last spring we, of course, were focusing on the transition from Chris Tyree running back to wide receiver, and we felt like that could be a very impactful move, and he had a big role in this offense, although maybe not as big as he thought. Now he's at the University of Virginia. No way am I trying to compare these two players in the impact, but with Devin Ford leaving a very crowded running back room, he's been shifted over to the safety position. Do you see any way in which Devin Ford impacts the field this year, either on special teams or adding depth at the safety position?
Special teams, absolutely. He played 103 special team snaps last year, and I think that only ranked between like 10 and 12. I mean, there were guys who played more special team snaps. I think you see him play a bunch, because last year you still kind of needed that depth piece at running back, because you know, Darren, in any position, especially the running back position, you could lose two guys in an instance. And all of a sudden, Devin Ford would have been the third running back for this Notre Dame team. And this is a Notre Dame team that definitely likes to go three deep at that position. I mean, Jabron Payne, look at everything he did in short yardages and goal line situations last year. Like, Devin Ford would have been that guy. At this point, I think it's a lot that Devin Ford is making this move about the two freshmen that Notre Dame has coming in at the running back position. So you're still five deep there. Even if two of them are freshmen, you got a really solid top three and then two really talented freshmen who can come in the pinch as well. So for Ford, it just opens him up tremendously to do everything on special teams. If he wants to play 150 special team snaps, I think the leader in special team snaps usually plays between 200 and 250 for the standard football team. Maybe he just becomes the special teams guy and plays all four units, and you see him just flying around on the field out there. I think he could be that guy. As for defensively, I think Notre Dame is just going to lean so heavily on Xavier Watts at safety. And then if Rod Hurd from Northwestern is the answer at the other spot, I talked about linebackers can stay out there. Like, we saw J.D. Bertrand play pretty much every single defensive snap that he was healthy for. You see Xavier Watts do the same exact thing, and Rod Hurd could do that as well. That's just a position that lends itself to staying on the field. So it's going to be tough for Devin Ford to get on the field, even if Notre Dame isn't as experienced or deep behind Watts and Hurd at that particular position. But I really do think this was just a special teams-driven move, and Devin Ford is locked in. And he says, hey, you put me out there, I'm going to go full speed. And Notre Dame really liked what he did last year on special teams. I think he's going to be even better in 2024.
He's Ty Lahorka, the Notre Dame football beat reporter, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. I'm Darren Pritchett, broadcasting from Saltgrass Steakhouse, 5126 North Main Street in Mishawaka. Their grand opening is tonight. I want to ask you about Joshua Burnham for a second, an individual that we found out for the Sun Bowl, he can play either of Notre Dame's defensive end spots. Do you see him settling in one defensive end spot in particular, or do you believe he is the type of player that could help them at both defensive end spots?
Yeah, this is kind of a Drake Bowen thing that I was talking about earlier, where we saw him pretty much exclusively at middle linebacker in that first practice. Joshua Burnham, we saw him pretty much exclusively behind R.J. Oben as the number two strong side or field defensive end, you know, opposite of that Viper position. And that's different from what we saw for most of last year, I would say. Burnham kind of was in tandem with Jordan Botello and even Junior Tui Halamaka at the Viper position. I just think he's still getting bigger. I mean, he's going into his true junior year, and this guy just, it seems like every time I see him, I'm like, okay, he's a little bit bigger, he's a little bit bigger. He feels more like that strong side defensive end at this point. And honestly, for the sake of his career and just trying to get the most out of him, maximizing his potential, I would like to see him stick at one position or the other. Same thing with Junior Tui Halamaka, honestly. And I'm not sure if he's a defensive end. I think he could still play the linebacker position, so maybe that move is still in his future. But as for Burnham, he is a defensive end, and I think he's a strong side defensive end. So I think, you know, the sky's the limit for him. If R.J. Oben is the answer, like if he can do the thing that John Vettese did for Notre Dame last year as that number one strong side, Burnham can come in and just kind of play free, play loose, be the number two behind Oben, and just, you know, try to have a season where he feels like he's building towards something. And then maybe he's the number one strong side in 2025. Like, that's a legit possibility for him. So I think he needs to stick to one position, kind of like you were saying, and just kind of see what he can do over the course of an entire season at that one spot.
Tyler, I really appreciate the flexibility that Marcus Freeman has shown with his players, Bowen playing baseball and being a part of spring practice. Jordan Faison is not going to be a regular contributor in practice for the football team while he is focused on being a lacrosse player. Now we find out that Jordan's younger brother, Dylan, is the first 26 commitment, and it sounds like, Tyler, he's going to follow in the footsteps of his older brother, Jordan, and be a football player and a lacrosse player. Hey, let's face it, Notre Dame is on a recruiting roll right now. If they wanted to, they could focus on guys that just want to be football players. But you know what? That's not in Marcus's DNA, is it? He is more than willing to work with players to be multi-sport athletes at Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Max Bulla had a telling quote, and this was kind of in vogue, I would say like 10 years ago. Everyone was like, yeah, you need to play multiple sports, and the best thing for these athletes. You don't really hear that as much anymore. And Max Bulla, Notre Dame's new full-time linebackers coach, told us in February that he loves that Drake Bowen is playing baseball. And he tells Drake, hey, man, if you're going to do this, then, like, I want you to be a good baseball player. You're representing us, the Notre Dame linebackers, over there. So go be an athlete and do everything right there. And I want the coaches, Sean Stifler, everybody else, reporting back to me and saying, yeah, he's doing everything right. You guys need to make sure you're giving him his due on the football side of things, because if he's doing the same thing for y'all that he's doing for us, then he deserves that. So I kind of like that, the mix up between two different sports. And look, Jordan Faison, guy's got double-digit goals in the first half dozen games of his lacrosse career. He came here wanting to be a lacrosse player, obviously, and maybe trying to dabble football. Well, turns out he was one of Notre Dame's best wide receivers down the stretch run of last season. I think he's got a potential to be one of Notre Dame's best wide receivers for an entire season in 2024. And, you know, some guys are just built for that, Darren, where you can slot them in and they're just athletes. Like Jordan Faison has wheels. The dude can run. He's going to run by you, whether he's on a lacrosse field or on a football field. And I think it's awesome for Marcus Freeman to feel comfortable in that. And not that, like, loaning Faison over to Coach Corrigan on the lacrosse side of things, because like I said, that was what Faison ultimately showed up here to play, was lacrosse. But, you know, as soon as Faison stepped onto the football field, he became a scholarship football player, and Freeman could have had conversations with Corrigan, yeah, saying, hey, I want this guy 5-15 practices. He's going to be a really good player for us. Notre Dame football is paying the bills around South Bend, the campus here, more than Notre Dame lacrosse is, even if the lacrosse team just won that national title. Football is king in South Bend, but Freeman says, you know what? There's a bunch of different sports here, and Faison is really good at two of them. I'm going to let him play that sport this spring, and let's get him back here in the summer and then in the fall, because guess what? At that point, Darren, Faison's going to be 100% locked in to football. There's going to be no lacrosse to play. So if he can do both, you might as well, and Faison's doing both right now.
Irish women's basketball team, Tyler, we know they're going to play the first two rounds in South Bend, and they ended up being a number two seed in the NCAA tournament. That's pretty impressive. At the same time, they ended up being in the same region as the undefeated and number one team in the country, South Carolina, a team that, well, put it to the Fighting Irish several months, 100-71 in that opener overseas. So if you had your doings, would you rather be a number three seed in another bracket, or are you okay with being a two seed with South Carolina?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. And look, you might not make the Final Four because of it, as opposed to, I don't know, say you were in, you mentioned my alma mater, Texas. Like, I think Notre Dame could beat Texas. If you were in Texas's side of the bracket, maybe you beat them in the Elite Eight and make the Final Four, or Iowa or some of these other number one seeds that Notre Dame might match up a little better with. But look, if you're trying to win a national championship, and at the end of the day, that's the goal for Notre Dame as a two seed. That's the goal for, really, if you're a top three seed. We saw LSU win it as a three seed last year. Your goal is to win the national championship. So if you're going to do that, or at least advance to the national championship, you're going to have to beat South Carolina at some point. And the way that it falls for Notre Dame is you got to beat them in the Elite Eight. And look, it might not happen. And if Notre Dame's season still falls short in the Elite Eight, that's progress from last year and even the year before that, where the season stopped in Sweet 16 in each of those two seasons. So I think a successful season, especially considering Kylie Watson's absence, who is officially out with a torn ACL. We saw her get injured in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. Notre Dame might be down to a six-player rotation for the entirety of this NCAA tournament, barring maybe a blowout in the first round or whatever might happen on Saturday. The Elite Eight, Darren, would be just a soaring success for this Irish team, considering Olivia Miles is going to be back. Hannah Hidalgo is going to be even better as a sophomore. Sonia Citrone back. Maddie Westbell could come back for a fifth season if she wanted to. This team is going to be stacked next season, and you just don't want to bow out in the Sweet 16, Darren, like you have the last two seasons, because at that point you're like, okay, we left a little something on the table. If you get to that Elite Eight matchup and you play South Carolina and maybe you do a little better than you did the first time, I think you leave the NCAA tournament feeling a little bit better about yourself than you have even the last couple of years.
Tyler, when you look at the bottom half of their regional, how realistic is it for Notre Dame to at least get to the Elite Eight with a six-player rotation?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. And it's funny, we talk about how bad the six-player rotation is. Well, the last time Notre Dame won a national championship, they used the six-player rotation in 2018. So it can be done. But obviously, it's got to be the right six players. And losing Kylie Watson really hurts, because I do think, despite this team's weakness, if you want to call it that, being on the interior, Watson was probably the best center. So it hurts to lose her, but you could still beat Kent State on Saturday, Darren, and then you could still beat Ole Miss or Marquette on Sunday, and then on Monday, and then all of a sudden you're in the Sweet 16. And who are you facing there? Probably Oregon State. I mean, chalk typically tends to hold in the women's tournament, so you probably see 2-3 in the Sweet 16s. And Oregon State, I mean, the Pac-12 was just an incredible conference this year. Stanford is a two seed in the tournament. USC, I believe, is one of the other one seeds. Juju Watkins, if Hannah Hidalgo isn't the best freshman in the country, Juju Watkins is right there with her. So the Pac-12 is stacked, and Oregon State did very well in the Pac-12. I think Colorado was even hosting NCAA tournament games. So Pac-12 has a lot of good teams, and Oregon State is one of those. So if it is Oregon State who Notre Dame is playing in the Sweet 16, that's not going to be an easy matchup. You don't go to Albany and show up and you say, okay, yeah, we're going to start focusing on South Carolina because we're going to beat Oregon State. It's not going to be that easy. And there's some other teams in that side of the bracket there. And, like, Nebraska beat Iowa, who I mentioned is a one seed and has Caitlin Clark, the best player in the country. And they took Iowa to two overtimes in the Big Ten title game as well. So they show up against the best and you know, beat them once and nearly beat them another time. Nebraska can make a little bit of noise and maybe take down Oregon State in the round of 32 to be that team that Notre Dame plays in Sweet 16. So all of that in mind, it's not going to be easy. Notre Dame's not just going to show up and say, all right, we're going to pen ourselves in to play South Carolina in the Elite Eight. That Sweet 16 game, whoever it is against, is going to be a tough one.
All right, Tyler, tell our listeners what is happening right now at Blue and Gold Illustrated, your website, of course, blueandgold.com.
Just a ton of women's basketball content, obviously. It's March. It's tournament time. This is the time to be reading up on those ladies that we mentioned that earned a number two seed in the NCAA tournament. But like you said, there's also spring practice returning tomorrow. So we'll have observations on the offense, the defense, the newcomers. I believe that nobody covers Notre Dame spring practices, fall camp practices, as well as we do at blueandgold.com. So definitely go there Wednesday afternoon. The site will be loaded. And then it's just a busy week. Thursday is pro day. So we'll see the last of, you know, Sam Hartman and some of those other guys. Maybe Cam Hart, J.D. Bertrand, those types of guys who are trying to get drafted in a month. They're going to come back and give their last impression before the NFL draft. So just a loaded week. And then obviously I'll be on site here. As you mentioned, the first two games for Notre Dame women's basketball and the NCAA tournament will be in South Bend, and I will be in person covering those. So busy week. March is a busy time of year for the college athletics calendar, and this is why we do it, Darren. We got stuff to talk about. We got stuff to write about. Yeah. It's really fun.
No kidding. I was mentioning the other day, we're so used to the men, the women, the hockey team all going deep into the NCAA tournament, but this year is going to be a little different. We have to put all our support behind the Irish women's basketball team, with the other two not making the NCAA tournament. So good luck to Niel's team going forward. And for the latest, of course, follow Tyler at blueandgold.com. Always appreciate the visit. Thank you so much. And have some fun covering some hoops and some football this week.
Sounds good. And have a jalapeno popper for me, Darren. It sounds like you could use one, man.
Your name is written all over it, and I will take a bite for you right during this next commercial break. Sound good?
Sounds great. Thanks, Darren.
All right, take care. That's Tyler Horka, the Notre Dame football beat reporter at Blue and Gold Illustrated. Read all about it at blueandgold.com, also covering the Irish women's basketball team. It is 5:57. We will take a timeout. More Sports Beat coming up as we broadcast live from the first Saltgrass Steakhouse to open in the state of Indiana. And it's right in our backyard at 5126 North Main Street in Mishawaka. Make sure to check out their website, saltgrass.com. You can check out the menu online. But let me just give you a little sample, as they have some of the great flavors of the American West, as they feature seafood, chicken, burgers, sandwiches, salads, barbecue, baby back ribs, double bone pork chops, salmon Oscar, country fried steak. And you can enjoy all these great meals in the dining room, featuring warm wood furnishings, comfortable leather seating, and memorabilia from the Saltgrass Trail. I'm located in the patio area by the front door next to the bar area, and we have some patrons in here enjoying a wonderful meal as we speak. Again, saltgrass.com. If you'd like to check out the menu, the phone number, 574-395-5562. The ribbon cutting was just a couple of hours ago, and they are open for business here in Mishawaka. Take a timeout, 5:58 on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
They say consistency is the key to success.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.